everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Today on the guest line, we have Robert Kudla from Trade Genius, and he visits us a couple times a month to give us periodic economic updates. And by the way, he lives his advice. And what I mean by that is Bob owns Trade Genius, which is he's teaching people how to do what he does, which is making money in the market using self-created algorithms. And they teach you how to do that. And so he puts his money where his mouth is when he comes on and says, hey, A, B, and C is happening. Well, you can bet that Trade Genius is going in the A, B, and C direction. And Bob, I want to welcome you to the show. And I got to tell you, we used to hunt for things to talk about on the air. And now it's kind of like, what can we exclude? Because there's so much.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in a Jerry Lewis telethon now. We could talk for 24 hours a day now.
Isn't that the truth? Well, you know, we're actually thinking about expanding our podcast and TV show to the weekend. Because there's just too much timely stuff to cover. It's just a matter of how much I want to sleep. But you guys over at Trade Genius really have a handle. And folks, what we're going to do in this interview here, we're going to work backwards from what we would normally do. We're going to talk to Bob about, here, let me pull this up here. We're going to talk to Bob about how his business is a reflection of his correct observations. And that's where I want to start here. And I've read a bunch of attaboys that Bob's participants, people that said, hey, I like Trade Genius. Sounds really good. I need a second income. So I'm going to jump on board with this and I'm going to learn how they do what they do. And so these people are writing kind of after the fact. And so, Bob, if you don't mind, I want to start with this. And then we'll go backwards and talk about the economic conditions leading up to what influences you to do what you do. Here's one guy, Andrew. He says, nothing like 126% profit. Here's another guy named Peter. Thanks, Bob Kudla22, 15,000K profit. Thanks, as always. Thank you for the information on blank. I won't mention the company here because we'll get in trouble. But it says, I want to pick up a few extra shares because this is kicking butt. Thanks so much. This is just incredible, all these attaboys you have here. How many trades do you win on average, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, we win 2 out of 3 trades. And we have what's called a positive profit factor, which means that our trades that we win make more money than the trades that we lose money. So we're constantly grinding forward. And that profit factor equates into, let me just pull it up here real quick. It equates into basically a 156% 0.37 annualized gain.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, here's a guy, Keith. He wrote in to you at 6:55, and he said, took the 77% gain on the 170p contracts. Nice $650 profit. Thanks, Bob. And there's a picture of Keith here running on the beach. How appropriate. This is amazing. And so I guess what we're leading up to here, ladies and gentlemen, and Bob, is that even though our economy is in desperate states, I mean, everything that Biden is doing is designed to make America fail. And even on Fox News now, I'm trying to think of which host said this. Tucker Carlson said it. And I think Stephen Hill said it. This is deliberate. This is a deliberate takedown of America's economic prowess. It's an attack upon the middle class. But within that war that's going on right now, people are making money. And that's part of what this show is going to be about, is how can you survive the economic calamity and even profit? Am I overstating this, Bob? Can you really profit from the misery that's going on?
Yeah, actually you can. In fact, the more volatile the market, the more money you can make. And so, wow. You know, we normally do pretty well normally, but when the markets start getting hinky like they have been since November, this is when we really shine, because our algorithm looks for basically oscillations. And so when the markets get a little disturbed like they are right now, you get deeper and deeper oscillations. So it just sets up opportunities. And the second thing too is really, understanding, if I could paraphrase a word I hate, the climate that you're in, because you need to know what season that you're in terms of understanding the macro trend. And the other thing you have to do too is that you can't be dogmatic. Even though, I'm dogmatic politically, I'm dogmatic personally, I am not dogmatic trading. And what I mean by that is that I have a thesis of what I think should happen, and if it doesn't, I'm quickly and happy to be wrong and taking the trade the other way. So you have to be super flexible when you trade. And I learned that lesson a long, long time ago. And there was a period of time where I just was not making money, and I was really annoyed. And my trading partner looked at me and said, "Bob, do you want to be right or do you want to make money?" And it just hit me like a 2x4, because I was trading my bias versus trading what the system was telling me to do. And that's actually was the genesis behind creating our algorithm, because I said, "Look, I know that about myself, so I need to create a mechanism that basically is neutral. It doesn't care. It's only going to tell me to buy or sell." And that was the genesis behind me creating these algorithms. And so that was, 12, 15 years ago. And it has served me well, because your impulse is to the world is ending, I better short everything. I'm like, no, there's tremendous opportunities here. Look for where the money is flowing. Money doesn't disappear, if you will, it moves, right? So you got to find out where it's moving, and you just follow the money. Big money can't make a decision without a lot of people knowing what it just doesn't care that you know. So why not just follow it along and make money as it's making money, and you can make enough. I'm not Bill Gates. I don't have to move $40 billion around, but I can move enough money around to have a really good living. And it's the same with every other small trader out there.
Yeah, and this is a lesson, I think, for a lot of people here, is they do get dogmatic in their approach. And I hear what you're saying. My day starts and ends almost identical, except when my wife and I maybe have a special event or something we're going to do. And I'm very disciplined in my daily life. But one of the things, I discovered in coaching, and Mike Tyson said this well too, is that the fight strategy really starts the first time you get hit in the mouth. And when I looked at them, when I was coaching college basketball, you can have great game plans, but whether or not you follow it really depends on how the flow of the game goes, and you got to adjust. And that's what I hear you say, is that you got to be flexible. And what I see with people that invest in the market, the brokers, it's kind of a one size fits all, and they never adapt.
Yeah, and right. So here's what you're competing with when you're trading. The media is carrying the water for the elites, as we all well know.
Yeah.
What I mean, the media, we're not the media, we're the truth.
Thank you. I was going to say that. Thank
so
you.
I think everybody that's listening knows what I mean by the media. And so they're carrying water. Like, if you watch CNBC, then you don't deserve to own any money. Because just look what Jim Cramer does to people. He's constantly setting them up, because he's making sure his buddies are making money off of retail. Okay, you're what's called the dumb money. And so you have that going against you, and then you have your own fears that go against you. That happens, and Wall Street sets you up to make things look like things are happening, but they're not. So you have a lot of things that are going against you, and all that really matters is, ironic, it sounds so simple, but it's so hard to do in practice, is only price pays. And what I mean by that is that, look, they could tell you that Tesla is going to $1,000, right, when it's at $800. But if you see that the money is exiting the system, okay, they want to sell to you. So that's why you don't ever look what they say, you look what they do. And that's how you – and then you know that because you look at the system. And they can't hide the action. So – price and volume gets recorded, so you can learn over time a direction of travel for a stock, and then you just plan appropriately. And the other thing too is, you know, and I think most of your listeners are fairly sophisticated in this way. You know, you understand the macro trends are very important. And so, you know, we know what's happening here. You know, it's ironic. I was just telling actually my subscribers this morning, I said a year to 18 months ago, if you were going to ask me who's going to be the dominant party in the next 20 years, I would have said the Democratic Party. If you ask me today, is that the Democratic Party is on its last vespers, right? And then if you ask me 18 months ago, would the WEF and the power elites be able to quickly and easily go and do what they need to do? And I would have said, yeah, probably that would be it. But if you're looking now, the macro trends are changing in such a way where we're creating this environment called a bifurcation, Dave. And that's what I want to talk about today. There's a bifurcation happening is that you have this group, I don't even call it left and right anymore. It's really like there's the I don't even want to call them the elites. There's this group of people that want to control everything, right? And if you look at the old medieval way of how things were structured, right? You had the king, right? Then you had the pope, then you had the merchant class, then you had the protection class, and then you had everybody else. And they were able to control basically 65% of the population with 35% of the people, probably a little bit less, by having basically, you know, you co-opt a third of the population, you can control two-thirds of the population. And I think that's the plan that they've been trying to foist on everybody here. And they've been fairly successful up to a point where I think they overplayed their hand. And you know, we're going to have a French Revolution kind of part two coming from this, because around the world now, people are tired of being tired. And what's interesting is the people that are revolting now, when the left revolts, it gets violent. You know, when normal people revolt, there might be some violence, but what's happening this time that's really fascinating to me is people are just opting out, Dave.
Yeah.
They're literally opting out, which is devastating to a debt-based system that requires people to consume. And so I'll take a breath here and let you comment on that. But that's the macro trend that we've been profiting from, and I'll explain why when we continue.
Well, I totally agree with you, and this explains, you just explained it beautifully, about how we can have 10 million open jobs in a depressed market, where really you think getting a job would be at a premium, like in the Depression. We can't find any work, so the government had to make jobs. So now we look at this, and there's 10 million open jobs, and you're describing it. Stay and quit. Stay in the society, but not work for the man. And that's what I'm seeing. And in fact, also, too, there's a corollary to this. You look at the statistics, people aren't getting married like they once were, and they're certainly not having kids like they once were. There's a throwing off of traditional American values, because people are so disillusioned, they don't see the system working for them.
Yeah, so the system requires, right, it requires inputs, right? So the input is we need bodies, right, to, you know, look, rich people get rich through leverage, Dave, okay? And when I mean leverage, I don't mean just financial leverage, right? So, you know, Bill Gates got rich because he leveraged a monopoly, right, IP. And I'm not being pejorative. That's what he did. That's how he got rich.
He did, exactly.
You know, other people get rich because they create a moat. Other people get rich because they leverage people, right? Like McDonald's franchise. You talked about your wife running a McDonald's. Well, McDonald's got rich because they leveraged a zillion franchisees, right, with people working at minimum wage. So it requires people input, right? It requires consumers, and it requires debt. And so what's happening now is that demographically, people, as they get older, they take on less debt. The young people have no way of creating income, so they can't create enough credit debt. So that's falling away, and that's going to kill the Federal Reserve. People are worried about inflation. We're going to have higher prices, but we may not necessarily have inflation. It sounds weird, counterintuitive, but that's what's going to happen. We're actually going to go into a deflationary spiral here at some point, because you need bodies, you need debt, and you need workers to create the velocity, and that's not happening. The other thing that's happening is that wokeism is creating this environment, Dave, where You know, basically, and we talked about this in our group this morning too, is that if you had a national brand, why would you be such an idiot to basically try to get rid of half your customer base? Either they think they're going to get you anyway, or they don't care, or they're trying to serve a higher purpose. But that creates tremendous opportunities for people to come in. I'll give you an example, you know, and it's not a stock, like the guy from MyPillow, right? He's leveraged this bad boy against the system, you know, marketing campaign. He's a millionaire from it, right? Why buy pillows from these people when you could buy pillows from a Patriot, right? And you're going to start seeing more and more of that. And the stock that we've been making the most money on in the last 2 months is Trump's new social media company, you know, and Rumble's basically. These are two holding companies that have been formed. But we've just been making tremendous amount. This is the third time DWAC has done a 30 to 40% move. Today it's at 95.86. You read one of those attaboys this morning. We got people in at 87 this morning, Dave, and it's at 96 right now.
And this is for Trump, his media?
Yeah, True Social is the holding company for Trump's launch. And they're going to launch in 3 weeks. So the stock price, this has already moved from $18 to 176 and went back to 40. We've been buying it ever since. And so we've been in and out of this thing a ton of time. In fact, I already have a personal double on it because we threw it in our IRA. So that's an example. CFVI is the other company. I'm giving you these guys, you know, every time it pulls back, you got to buy a little bit of it. Trump has 80 million people that voted for him, for example. Well, are they going to stick around? Look at Facebook. Got eviscerated, Dave. Eviscerated.
Oh, yeah. They've dropped
27%.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So why? They lost users because they're getting rid of their users. You know where they're going to go? They're going to go over to True Social. So you have 80 million engagements. Look, you and I are both in the internet business, right? Mm-hmm. So you know if you can generate 80 billion engagements, you don't think advertisers are going to flock to you? They're going to flock to him. And they're going to people are going to make a fortune. And then the thing with what happened with the fundraising company, they just shot themselves in the head.
Oh, yeah, you know, it was terrible. What they were proposing was blatantly illegal.
Blatantly illegal. And the thing is that how hard is it to create a lookalike? There's no moat in that. You're basically an internet escrow company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
all
exactly.
You need is servers. And so, you know, they're gone. They're gone.
Well, you know, I'm taking up that torch, too. I don't believe in boycotts. I believe people will make their own choices like I am. And there's a man in Georgia I'm getting ready to help, and he's been the victim of terrible land confiscation for BS reasons. And I'm looking at helping this guy. I haven't talked to him yet, but I'm familiar with his story. He's contacted me. And later today, we're going to work something out, but we're not going to use GoFundMe. We're going to use one of the other sources for raising funds. And this is what GoFundMe has done. I'm not organizing a boycott. I'm not saying don't use them. I'm saying based on the fact that they thought they could get away with illegally stealing someone's contribution, of which that's a criminal offense you can go to prison for, I said, I'm not going to do business with people like that. So you're exactly right. And let me ask you this, though. You're creating a mindset for me, and I bet with our audience, that there is a dual economy forming. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and you know, and the January 6th thing said, hey, if you fight the system, we're going to throw you in jail. We're basically making you a political prisoner. I said, never do anything illegal, ever, ever.
Yeah, so of course not.
No. Just opt out. You know, they can't force you to do something like, you know, and we'll dance around this, but, you know, if truckers in a certain area get arrested for doing something that technically violates the law, okay? Well, nobody says the trucker has to deliver to that said city, right?
Exactly,
so,
right.
So, you know, and I always joke with people too. People said, hey, if you were an anarchist, how would you – I said, well, I would tell everybody in the city of Los Angeles to drive the speed limit. I'd shut the city down in an hour. You know, so, you know, that's kind of a joke. But what is the point is that you don't, it's the Gandhi approach.
And exactly. That's perfect. And the Martin Luther King approach. You know, sit down strikes that MLK used so effectively. He absolutely was the best reformer we've ever seen in this country. I wish he were around today because he wouldn't be buying any of this nonsense. and we'd be using his techniques again, which I think we can do. If you're not going to deliver to a certain city and you're a trucker that's unhappy about something, that city's going to change or they're going to starve.
Yeah, there's no law that says you have to deliver to them.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's a trucker shortage. So, you know, if woke companies force their company branded truckers to do something, hey, they can go independent tomorrow.
Yeah.
And an enterprising right wing truck company could also hire all these truckers too. So, you know, it's not like these guys have a monopoly on the employment. But that's not the only area where there's bifurcation going on. You know, we have what's called peak centralization, right? So these woke corporations created these environments where they basically outsourced all the labor out into Asia, right? You know, cheap labor. They arbitrage labor. They leverage labor. And now what's happening is that, look at Ford Motor Company's idling eight plants now because they can't get the chips. Why? Because they're all centralized in Taiwan, right? Taiwan can't produce enough chips. You know, China's not producing enough chips for whatever reason, right? Good reasons, bad reasons. Everything got too centralized. So now you're starting to see this. Even Congress on Friday made this rule to, hey, you know what? We got to bring jobs back to the United States. It's called onshoring. Tremendous opportunities there. However, also, you're starting to see countries now start to leverage their monopoly on resources. And this is why I always a cautionary tale with Russia. I don't understand our hard on with Russia. You know, I don't care if they're good or bad. You know, our politicians need to have what's called real politic, right? Russia provides things to the world and to the United States that we need. And so why unnecessarily antagonize them for your own domestic political agenda? Is Russia just banned the export of anhydrous hydrogen, basically fertilizer, for the next 60 days?
Yeah,
they're the world's largest producer. Well, you know, guess what? Farmers have to get this on the field. I have a customer that's knee-deep in this business. He said 50% of the farmers already have, you know, basically purchased, but 50% have not. And so they're going to be buying at much higher prices. It's basically a natural gas input. You know, so these woke climate agendas are going to turn back, and it's going to cause food prices to spike.
Yeah, well, this fertilizer thing is huge, and I'll tell you, I talked to, and he asked me not to mention his name just yet. He said, wait a week or two, Dave, and I'll come on your show. But here's what he told me, and you are right on the money with this. He said, let's say a farmer has four sections of land that he farms, and he normally farms three-fourths of it, and he needs fertilizer for the three-fourths. He said, if he can't get that fertilizer at a cost-effective price, he said he may only be farming two-fourths or half of it or even a quarter of it. And he said, where's that going to show up, Dave? And I said, obviously the grocery store, higher prices or even availability. He said, exactly. He said, I just gave you the formula for food shortages.
Yeah, and look, we've been buying fertilizer companies and Trade Genius. See, that's the other way you do it. And then you can buy food companies, you know, in the stock market. So, you know, you could tilt against the windmill, you could scream against the wind, or you can trade to mitigate what's going against you. And all we're doing is just following these macro trends. So to us, it's peak centralization, it's commodities over financial assets, and it's bifurcation. And there's going to be plenty of money to be made just in those areas alone in the next 6 months. And I tend to look out, you know, 3 to 6 months, because the world changed like so radically, you know, that, you know, things can turn on a dime. And so, but that's my view for going in through the summer. And just so your listeners know too, so the first year of a presidential, a midterm election for a first term president, and if they're a Democrat, between now and March, we should have a stock market pullback, and then we should get a lift into May, and then May through September should be pretty bearish. And I think that's tying in pretty well with what's going on from the Federal Reserve pulling back liquidity and potentially raising rates. So I think we'll sell into March and get a relief bounce, and then we're going to sell into the election.
You know, if you go bear in May to September, the Democrats are doomed.
They're already doomed, in my view.
I would agree, but so I'm saying that a lot could change between now and then. And that's why I shy away from predictions this far out. I mean, it's like Kyrsten Sinema going against Build Back Better and the nuking the filibuster. She wouldn't do it. They're coming out now and saying, well, she'll lose the primary. Wait a minute. It's over 2.5 years away from the primary. How the hell can you say that now? Because a lot can change.
And she may become Republican by then.
That's what I'm thinking. I think Tulsi Gabbard's going to form an independent party, and she's going to join. And I think that's another topic for another day. But my point was where I was going with this is that although things could look up for the Biden administration, maybe something will happen economically. He'll have an epiphany and reinstate the Keystone Pipeline. But if this goes the way you're saying, they have no chance. It won't be, will the Senate and House change? You could see, I think, in the Senate, a 60% Republican majority, which means they don't need the Democrats.
Yeah, it's gonna be really interesting to see. Yeah, I just think, you know, setting the election aside there, the mood, you know, when Canadians are pissed, you know it's over.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, they were very passive about losing their jobs and their rights and everything. And we don't want to go into forbidden territory, but no one can deny what we're seeing north of the border right now.
No, and it's good. I think, you know, my philosophy on things don't matter to people till they matter to people, and they finally matter to them. And you know, and my portion of this show talking to you is that really not into the politics, even though you and I are probably brothers from a different mother on a lot of this stuff, is that I look to say, how do I move the needle forward, right? You know, either if I was self-interest, I want to make money from me and my family. But if I'm altruistic, I also want to make sure that people I know make money. And then if I really want to be generous, then I want to take my winnings, right, and make sure I help other people who aren't as successful or caught in a situation they can't get out of. And that's how you have to look at things, saying, hey, look, all, you know, you can control your own castle, and that's where you have to start.
Exactly.
And then you work out from there. You know, a lot of people want to boil the ocean, and you don't have to do that. And so my first thing is, how do I make sure that I take care of my family? And after that, how do I make sure that what I'm doing for a living, which is trading and teaching people and showing people how to trade, do that. And real quick too, Dave, because I know we wanted to talk about this earlier. Can I just quickly mention the special before I lose everybody here?
No, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. We're going to do it again before we close, sure.
Yeah, so I just want to let people know what we do, though. You can talk specials again. I don't just educate you. We actually give you access to the algorithm. So it's like taking a test and I give you the cheat sheet. So, you know, you're going to I'll show you how to do this, show you how we trade. I'll show you why we trade the way we trade. And then we also will give you access to the algorithm. So I can't trade everything. I'm not interested in everything, but you might be. And you can go ahead and use the algorithms and it'll literally tell you buy and sell. I mean, we keep it pretty simple. And then we also have chat rooms where we can communicate with each other. And if you day trade or you want to be more involved, there's a VIP room where we can actually talk together. That's a room too. And if you just want education and just want to get personal coaching or whatever, we have people that actually will coach you up and to teach you how to do these things. So we really give you a full well round. And I give trades out every day. Just like I said, this morning I gave people DWAC, D-W-A-C. I just got us back into gold. Gold miners might be a story here pretty soon, Dave. I'm getting excited.
It's on my list, Bob. We're talking
about
it.
Yeah, and so we give trades out too. So we have specials running all the time. We'll do it at the end, but you take advantage of my Saturday, 65% off bundles. We trade cryptos too. Cryptos are making a big move again from this weekend.
It's on my list.
A lot of opportunities. So anyway, I'll shut up and I'll let you take over.
No, listen, you just nailed where we're going with this. See, the reason I think you're so effective in what you say about the economy is because you're living it every day. If you don't make money, then you have listened to the wrong people and observed the wrong trends, and you are making money. I wanted to go to the precious metals aspect of it as well as crypto. I'm starting to see a trend, and maybe I'm wrong. But I'm looking at the banks where, like JP Morgan, they'd fire an employee if they found out that they were ever using crypto. Now they're developing their own crypto. And so there's been a decided shift. The Federal Reserve's talking about the same thing. So what I'm wondering, when the fiat currencies, and we're part fiat, when the fiat currencies start to go south in a big way, will crypto be the escape hatch initially?
Yeah, actually, yeah. So my view on cryptocurrencies are that it's more of a antidote to a collapsing banking system. And so not necessarily the currency, although the currency will fail before the banking system will. Mm-hmm. It's just that when a banking system starts to collapse, they tend to try to trap their citizens into the old system and force you to take the dilution with them, all right? But basically, Bitcoin, I'll use that as the example, sits, it's like in a multiverse. Bitcoin sits outside of the banking system. So you can just literally opt out. And that's the other opt-out people are doing is, if I can do a tangent, is all the kids I know, including my own, they don't even trade the stock market. They're crypto. And so they're already not bought into the old regime, and they're trading crypto. And so crypto's the off-ramp. So the whole system implodes, and you're sitting on Bitcoin. Well, you didn't get caught in the implosion because your currency is unaffected.
Will people turn this crypto profit into gold and silver investments?
Yeah, you know, there's an interesting back and forth between gold and Bitcoin. But look, until Bitcoin becomes like a reserve currency, you still have to opt in and opt out of it, okay? You know, there's very few places where I can say, I want to go ahead and buy Bitcoin and have somebody accept Bitcoin for goods and services. There are some, but it's not normal course of event. Some of these other altcoins are trying to create these ecosystems, but they're going to be niche for a long time. So you're going to be basically hopping in and out of the world, if you will. And so, you know, so a lot of times people make a lot of money in the cryptocurrency, and then, you know, a strategy at Trade Genius is that they'll go from altcoins to stack more Bitcoin. Okay, but some people take, you know, part of their Bitcoin winnings and buy a house. Okay. Take part of their Bitcoin winnings and buy a car, you know, that kind of stuff, because the thesis is that Bitcoin will appreciate faster than the goods that you're buying will, meaning that Bitcoin will become more valuable. It doesn't matter what Bitcoin is to the dollar, Dave. It's really what Bitcoin is to what you have to buy, okay? So if you're outpacing, you know, the price of new cars, if you're outpacing the price of a new home, if you're outpacing the price of food, Bitcoin is a more and more valuable currency for you, if you will. And so you're going to see people flipping back and forth. But we saw something really interesting. We've seen a toggle between when Bitcoin's strong and gold strong. But now we're seeing Bitcoin and gold are actually been turning together here. So so it's going to be interesting if they both – if they both toggle together, that means the fiat currencies around the world now are being depreciated en masse. And that's one of the ender states that you look for, is that you look for basically Bitcoin to the dollar and gold to the dollar rise together. Because that means finally the dollar might be the strongest currency in the world against everybody else, but it's finally losing its grip against what I would call the two safe havens out there.
Gold and silver?
Yeah, gold. When I say gold, I mean gold, silver, platinum, palladium kind of mm-hmm. a thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then Bitcoin, it could be alts, but, you know, Bitcoin's still the king, right? And then, you know, obviously less liquid things like, you know, if you have excess cash, you know, you should have already bought productive agricultural land in an exurb area, right? That kind of stuff. You know, with an ability to have some independence, like, you know, you better buy some extra machinery or extra parts or solar or wind power for your property, right? So that you could be in a productive state.
Or afford fertilizer for your farm.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's that too. So, you know, if smart farmers have been, I don't use the word hoarding, but they, you know, look, I'm not the only guy out there that's seen this stuff, right? You know, smart people, instead of taking that extra, buy that brand new John Deere, they could have bought, you know, another couple tons of nitrogen, right, for their fields, and just so they have it at a lower price. So that's kind of how you have to think things here is that the dollar itself, you can obviously see it's losing 15% of its value over the year. And I think we talked about this before, Dave. The rule of thumb for folks for inflation rate, forget everything everybody tells you. You look at the annual increase of rental income, for rentals, and that's your inflation rate. Okay, and it's been tracking at 15.5%. That's the best gauge of where you think inflation is in terms of basically purchasing power.
I read this recently from an economist. I don't recall his name now, but he made a really good point. He said if you took the CPI requirements for measuring from 1972 and applied them to today, he said we would have a 17% inflation rate.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I've been going off the assumption 15 to 16% because that's rental increase. Yeah,
we're in the same ballpark. It's bad. It's really bad.
And, people say, well, put that in perspective. If I had $1 million, that's like me handing back $150,000 to you. That's how much that's how much it loses. If we do this for 5 years, right, you're basically your $1 million worth nothing. So, these things self-correct by you just simply not being able to buy it. You know what I mean? And that's what usually causes the crash because, you have high prices but sales volume collapse. And that's what you got to look for next. So you got to look for sales volume to fall even though prices are increasing. And then, obviously, revenue is sales times volume, right? So if that starts to fall, revenue start to fall, stock prices start to collapse, yada, 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 yada.
And then all of a sudden those 10 million available jobs dry up.
Yep. And then it swings the other way because you don't spend money if you don't have money.
Mm-hmm. Then you're into more of a 1929 scenario, which we're not now, but in terms of you can't find a job and men went from city to city, I can see that coming with a retail collapse.
Yeah, I think we're more, I don't disagree with you. I think we're more like 1937, 1970s kind of a approach. Because I think what will happen is the government's going to have to pivot in one way, shape, or form. And I hate being an advocate of this, but, actually the only way really out is to have a strict spending limit on government, and then also you have to really jam the taxes on the super wealthy because you got to dislodge them from what they call dead money and pay this debt down. And so, or they have to go negative with the rates. And that's another way of taxing the wealthy is to because we've created a situation where asset prices are too high for the average American to be able to afford anything. And so that's what's going to have to happen. Do I advocate that? No. I'm just trying to give you a prediction of really that's going to be the prescription going forward. They're going to go negative on the rates to be able to suck those dollars back into the treasury. That's a way of taxing the wealthy without it calling it a tax, and you don't need Congress to do it because the Federal Reserve can do it. And I think that's what's going to be what's going to happen here once it rolls over. I've already made a bet from somebody. Interest rates were going to go to zero before they lose control of the bond market the other way.
That's interesting. So what will that mean for the average consumer and citizen?
Actually, you'll see at some point prices will get too high and the prices will really fall. So that'll probably happen. And I'm talking, this is like 2 years down the line, Dave, kind of a thing, not tomorrow, is that this whole supply chain thing is kind of mucking things up a little bit. So that'll get all unclogged and there'll be basically a surplus of goods coming in. So prices will fall. And then when that's done, then we'll go into a situation where we'll get the regular inflation again. And then I think that my scenario will come into play because they can't raise interest rates. I should have sent you these charts over. It shows you the percentage of companies that are making no money in the S&P 500 that basically borrow every month. I think I talked about this before. So over 22% of the S&P 500 are zombie companies, and they literally have to borrow money on lines of credit from the banks in order to basically stay alive month over month.
So they're endangering the banking system.
Right. If the interest rates rise, that means the interest costs go up, which means one of three things, right? Either they cut back if they can as a company, but if they can't, either they've got to issue shares, which makes their share price collapse, or they default on their loans, which cause the banking system stress. So once we start pushing up too high here on trying to raise interest rates, the whole thing will come down really hard, like it did in 2008.
Yeah, I want to make sure people know what they're listening to here just for a second, because then I have a couple follow-up questions on what you were talking about. But ladies and gentlemen, Bob's company is very successful. And we have a lot of people from our audience that have migrated over there and said, this stuff really works. His algorithms work. And so he's had success, really good success. You heard winning two out of three trades. The rate of return's been fantastic. And so what works for him is what he's telling you now is where he derives information from with regard to the trends. You need to be taking this seriously. It's kind of like a coach that wins a national championship in a football or basketball, and he's being paid top dollar to go around the country in the off season to go to coaching seminars and clinics to teach people to do what he does. Well, that's kind of what you're getting here, free of charge. It's pretty cool. Bob, I wanted to ask you about crypto in the media. Every time I turn around, Bitcoin's terrible. Crypto, scandal, scandal this, scandal that. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. Avoid it, avoid. Is this a smoke screen for the elite so they can buy up crypto at a cheaper price and they don't have competition?
Yeah, we laugh whenever, like, they're telling people to sell DWACC because it's worthless, and DWACC went up 100%. Whatever they tell you to do, do the opposite, because they're trying to get you to sell to them at a lower price. Is look, cryptocurrencies, it's its own organism now, Dave. So on Friday we started to see. I'm gonna pull a chart up. We're talking, it's like I could be a little bit more specific in my conversation with you, is that we saw a buy signal. My algorithm picked up a Bitcoin buy. It broke out. Let me see here. Maybe when we do one of these interviews, I'll have charts I can show you guys. Pretty cool
Yeah,
stuff.
what you've got on this too, would you please send it to me? Because I want to put that up on my website and I'll credit you.
Yeah, of course, of course. So on Bitcoin, I got two buy signals on it on February the 1st and February the 4th, and those were alerts. And then we finally crossed over. I had confirmation on February the 5th, and basically, so if you started buying on the 1st of February, you've been buying it at 38,500, and by the time it broke out, now it's sitting at 43,600. And if you're just a trader, it's going in resistance. So we had basically a supported bottom here at $33,000. That's what everybody said was going to zero, and it went into my what's called my demand zone. I'll send you these pictures. It's really cool how my macro, you can visualize my macro, and now if you're just trading, you probably would take some profit between 43 and 45,000 area. If you're a hodler, just ignore this conversation, but this is what you do as a trader. And so that's what we look for. And gold did the same thing at the same time, which made me open my eyes a little bit, saying, okay, there's something more to this move, especially with the stock market going down. Bitcoin and gold were going down with the markets, and then all of a sudden Bitcoin and gold turned up. Market's struggling again today. Is that I think people are now saying, okay, I got to get off this sinking ship. And even if it's just a trade, you can make a lot of money in and out of this stuff. So yeah, so crypto's looking good. And then the alts went up today, which is also a tell. So if the alts go up and crypto and Bitcoin go up at the same time, that means there's new money or money coming back into the crypto space in general. So yeah, so I think there's a trend here, and I think this is it's definitely, well, it's already been a profitable trend. If you'd have bought at our buy signal here, you already made 10% on your money in over a weekend. I mean, not bad, huh?
No, over a weekend. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Over a weekend? That's amazing.
Yeah, this is
I wanted to
ridiculous.
ask you a question about savings and keeping money in the bank. I don't believe in the mattress approach. Okay, I think that's dangerous. But I am concerned about the health of the banks. And so what I'm going to ask you is, here's you got gold, silver, palladium, platinum, cryptos, all these options. How much money, in your opinion, what percentage of money should people keep in their savings and checking account in the bank?
Okay, you know, there's a rule of thumb which I don't disagree with at all, is that you should have at least, you know, 3 to 6 months of living expenses, what I would call liquid. Okay, mm-hmm. It's either in your brokerage cash market, money market account, or you're in your bank account, or in your mattress. You know what I mean? But you need to be able to, if you need it to, it needs to be liquid and available to you. And I'm not talking about having gold coins or silver coins, because it'll cost you 10 or 15% to get out if you need the money, right? So that's what I recommend. And for, you know, cryptocurrencies, hey, you know, I'm a drill baby drill kind of guy. You know, hey, 10, 15% in commodities, 10 to 15% in crypto of your net worth. The bulk of most people's net worth is their homes, which I think is fine. I'm not as big a fan of rental property as other people are, but it might be a bias. Even though we own rental property, I don't like it because I think it's liquid. And if the market turns against you, it takes you months to years to get out of an asset.
Yeah.
And it also costs you money every month while you're waiting, because it maintenance, repairs, or political environment, somebody decides just not to pay you. So that's kind of where my bias is. I'd rather be in liquid things. And then obviously your job is your biggest income generator. So make sure that you have income streams that depend on you every day too.
And so that's interesting.
Like my wife has, you know, two sources. I have two sources, you know, of our time, and then plus our investments. And just in case one doesn't work out, you know, hopefully you're diverse enough in your talents that the other one's still working for you. And I'm not talking about two jobs. I'm talking about two different passions.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I hear you. And what I've discovered in my business is your streams are always fluid and always changing. In fact, it's as much or more of a job to manage where you're going in terms of managing what you have. It's really an interesting environment we're in, and it's kind of new for me. I wanted to ask you about Janet Yellen for a minute, because this concerns me about homes and so forth. She talked several months ago about unrealized income, in which we're going to tax your appreciation. And my first reaction is, go to hell, lady. I mean, I pay higher property taxes when my appreciation goes up. So who do you think you are that you'll come and tax me at 43% of my appreciated value based on some arbitrary date you set? Do you think this is ever going to happen?
No, not at all.
Thank God.
It's already dead. I mean, and you just have to look at what happened to Facebook on Friday. Let's say they tax Facebook at the end of December, right? You know, right? And then Facebook's down 27%. So you got taxed. You haven't even paid your taxes yet. So they fixed Facebook at a price that's 27% higher. Let's say it's a 1% tax, you know, so, you know, you're basically paying, you know, $2.70 a share of all the shares that you own in a tax, right? And then now it's worth one third less. So you basically took a 40% haircut on your stuff. And then you probably have to sell more Facebook to pay the tax. So then it causes more pressure on the price. It would just cause cause a stock market depression within 90 days.
Go woke, go broke. I mean, is Facebook going to go the way of MySpace?
It's going to go the way of True Social.
Oh, no. Oh, there's a can of worms for you. That's a great comeback, Bob. That's the best comeback I've had on this show, I think. Excuse me. That's really, really good. So when you look at precious metals, what percentage, you said 4 to 6 months, and maybe I'm asking the question in the wrong denomination, but what percentage would you have in gold and silver, and then, of course, separate from crypto?
Yeah, so to me, it's 10 or 15%. And you know what? I'm not a big gold and silver fan, like, of the coins and stuff, because it's illiquid. I'm more of a fan of, and it's my bias as a trader, I'd rather own the silver and gold miners, okay? Because I'll give you an example. Roosevelt, he stole your gold and silver.
True.
Executive order. But if you own Homestake Mine, but you didn't own any gold and silver, let's say in 1932 you had $1,000 worth of gold in the safety deposit box. or you had $1,000 of shares in Homestake Mining, okay? Roosevelt stole your gold at $1,000, but he didn't touch Homestake Mining, and it went up to $2,000. So you know, there's mining risks, right? But you just buy the ETF, so you get a more general risk profile, or you buy GLD and SLV. And forget the arguments about they don't have gold and silver in their vaults. I don't care. I'm a trader. You know, you'd see that in the stock price way before they find out that there's no gold or silver in there. And so it's ultimately liquid. If you and I today had to sell our gold, okay, I press a button, I'm out of my gold. 3 weeks later, you're still trying to sell it, and oh, you took a 15% commission. You know, and also if the world is upside down, by the time you got down to the gold dealer, you probably had to get through 3 checkpoints where somebody tried to rob you of your gold and silver. So, you know, so to me, I'd rather be in liquid trading assets. And the other thing too is I can monetize my gold and silver miner position through selling options, where you can't do that for your gold and silver, right? So it just sits there. It's a non-yielding asset. So although I'm a gold and silver nut, I'm a gold and silver miner nut.
Yeah, okay. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. And plus, you know, and it's not, they're not even the best ones to own. You know, if you get your hand on a rhodium mine, which there are public companies that are rhodium mines, rhodium's going to be worth a fortune, okay? And so there's a lot of ways in which you take advantage of the commodity trade. And if you notice, the really, 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 really rich people, they buy oil companies, okay? And look what oil's done. You know, thank you, Biden, you know, doubled. Oil has doubled under that knucklehead.
It's not over either, is it?
It's not over. We're going to 120. You know, you heard it here. We talked about this before, Dave. It's going to 120. That seems to be in the inevitable march of this thing, and then we'll see what happens.
What does that translate into gas? Is that like $5.50, $6 a gallon on average for the nation?
Yeah, I'm at $4.70 here in California at $92. So we're probably, you know, you're looking at there 30% higher. So $1.50, probably up to $6 a gallon.
Yeah, that's for California. And we're about $1 below you in Arizona. So, yeah, we'll be over $5 easy.
It'll kill California because people drive so far to work. You want to see people not going to work? Wait till you have to come down from the Mojave Desert every day and you drive 100 miles each way to work every day and you fill your tank up every 3 days.
My God. You know, I know people do that. I know people that drive in from San Bernardino to L.A. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It is. It's absolutely nuts. And so I guess what I'm saying here is we're committing economic suicide. And there's so many I don't like to ascribe motives very often. That's a hard thing to do. But, you know, even Fox News has a couple of hosts that are ascribing motive. They're saying, how can you do this many economic things wrong and nothing right and not have it be deliberate?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I think, you know, here's what I think these guys try to do. I try to not just necessarily give evil, right? I think these people, in their own twisted ways, truly believe they're trying to bring in a better world. So I go off of that basis so I can understand the mindset.
I want to escape that world. Bob,
yeah, of course you do. But
I want to be out of that world. I don't want anything to do with their world. AOC came out this weekend and said, capitalism is my enemy. Well, the only other choice here, basically, is for the government to own everything you make. So that's my enemy. She is my enemy when you say that. I don't work for AOC.
Yeah, she's not the one I'm referring to. I'm talking about the Klaus Schwabs in the world.
Well, she's reflective of that attitude.
Yeah, he doesn't want communism. These guys are fascists.
Yeah, they want technocracy. Fascist.
Right, they want technocracy. Yeah. So that's their mindset going in. You know, Dave, you're a student of history. You got to understand the mind of your enemy if you want to be effective against them.
Sun Tzu, art of war. Yeah. I see a lot of Sun Tzu in what you do at Trade Genius. I truly do. You don't fight a full front. You go for strategic objectives, which explains why you're in and out of trade so quickly, and you have the algorithms that play the trend. And before we close, I want to make sure we get all of the relevant data in, because people are saying, gee, this sounds really good. Well, listen, this guy's made his money off this, folks, and he's done well. So you'd be well advised to follow what he's doing and maybe take a good hard look at joining him. And so at Trade Genius, right now they're offering 40% off the non-bundled items. That's the education items that teach you how to do what they do, as well as the non-bundled items are the bundled items, which are 65% off. And that offer is good. That special is good until this Saturday. And your coupon code is Valentine. And Bob, on that note, we are right up against a hard break. I want to thank you for a very informative hour, and continued good luck to what you're doing at Trade Genius.
My pleasure.